Morning.
Morning.
Hope everybody's doing okay.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Sure.
Yeah? Posted. So, I got my voice. So, you know, I figured today in celebration of having my voice, we'll just keep on going on and on and on. Hey, I got your number. Some announcements here. First of all, even if you have a printed out version of the bulletin, that hymn of the day, hymn 717, we're going to need to turn to the hymnal for that one. And what we'll do, as a matter of fact, go ahead and turn to the hymnal, because it's going to be a little tricky. 717. 717. So, on 717, we're going to do four stanzas, but just note the stanza 2 and 3 there on the left side of the page, those aren't the original Navy hymn. We're going to do the original Navy hymn. So when we hit stanzas 2 and 3, look on the right side of the page, you have 2 and 3 right there. So we'll do 1, and then the original 2 and 3, and then 4. Does that make sense? All right. Announcements today. First of all, the fair booth in the fair is going on. The fair booth is going to be set up starting this Monday from 4 to 9. If you're interested in helping with that, please meet Lee in the back area after church and before Sunday school. Let's see, the Sight and Sound Theater, for those of you who are going, Candy has the tickets, and so right after church, you can get the tickets from Candy. Trinity Garage Sale's coming up, 25th, 26th. If you have anything to contribute, please bring it by. Friday Night Dogs. So, Zena had a wonderful idea there, so we're going to try out the Friday Night Dogs right in front of the church here. And try to reach a little bit of our community, our church members, and I hope will come as well. And that's going to be 4:30 to 6:30 in front of the church those two Fridays. And then also, man, it would be great if we had some people who would like to sit down for a very casual Bible study as well.
On Friday?
Both Fridays. Yeah, okay. Casual, nothing fancy, just sit and talk about the Bible. Things in the Bible. All right. I think that will do it. And I haven't forgotten anything. I do want to welcome our guests with us this morning. So thanks for coming and worshiping with us this morning. Now direct us to a time of silence and meditating prayer before we begin. We begin with our opening hymn.
Thank you.
say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, at his command in his stead, I therefore forgive your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Continue with the This is the Feast.
God, now and forever.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word, which goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave from their own accord, begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the supporting of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well. But just as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all earnestness and in the love we inspired in you, see that you abound in this gracious work also. I am not speaking this as a command, but as proving through the earnestness of others the sincerity of your love also. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
When you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
O Christ. If you see it, I invite you all to turn to hymn number 717, and as we're singing the hymns, we'll skip over to the right side of the page and do original verses 2 and 3.
very short.
And it's exceedingly short when we think about it in terms of the eternity we will experience. Sometimes I wonder if we will even remember much about this world in light of the vastness of the time and the glory of God that is to follow. This life goes by like a blink of an eye, and very shortly, every single person in the congregation this morning, very shortly, we will either be in heaven or we will be in hell. Where will you be? There's only two choices. Where will you be? If we're in heaven, it's only because of the unmerited grace and kindness of our Heavenly Father. By His mercy, He saves us in the blood of Jesus. And what He's saving us from is judgment day. Now, we could say that Jesus saves us from sin. That would be true. We can say that Jesus saves us from this wicked world. That would be true. From the forces of darkness. Yep, absolutely. But we dare not leave out this, that there is a day of judgment which the righteous God will judge the living and the dead. We need to be delivered for that day, most of all. And we are in Jesus. You know, Psalm 103, one of the Psalms I was reading this week, some of the wording, by the way, is right there with our Old Testament reading from Isaiah. But here in verse 10, he says, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who fear Him. God hasn't given us what we deserve. Isn't that a good thing? Absolutely. If any of us, God forbid that this happen, but if any of us should end up in hell, it won't be because God led us there. It won't be because there was a dearth, a deficiency, a poverty, a lack of the knowledge of the gospel of God in Christ Jesus. It won't be because there was a lack of opportunity to receive that grace by faith in His Word and in the sacrament. You know, think of a coin. Those coins you get fresh off the mint are very crisp. Go to see an old coin, maybe a little bit more worn, especially if it's been used a lot. God has put His imprint upon our life through His Holy Spirit. God has imprinted us. But sometimes throughout this life, it's worn down. And we need spiritual renewal. I don't know about you, but I need spiritual renewal all the time. Lord, help me. But through this life, that coin, that imprint, that image can be worn down. When the imprint of God is distinct, clear, and vibrant in our life, there's going to be some outward characteristics of that. Let me mention a few. Not all of them, of course. But consider these. There will be a love for God rather than a disinterest in Him. There will be a repentance from sin rather than shrugging our shoulders. There will be plenty of prayer rather than silence before the Lord. There will be a separation from the ways of the world instead of an embrace and a pride in sin. There will be a seeking of obedience to God, just as we also seek the forgiveness of God. There will be a hunger for God's Word that won't be snuffed out by an obsession with entertainments. These all and more are marks of the Spirit of God in our life. It is evidences of the working of the Holy Spirit, is evidences of true and living faith. But let me add one more. there will be an interest in seeking the glory of God rather than your own glory. And when the image, that imprint of God in our life is worn off, we will care very little about God's glory. And that certainly is a mark of someone who is backsliding, as the King James puts it, backsliding. A warning to wake up and turn around. And frankly, it can also just be evidence of a dead soul to God. And this is the prime problem in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is continuing on in the Sermon on the Mount, and he is critiquing here the spirituality of the scribes and the Pharisees. The image of God has been rubbed thin, and on many of them rubbed out, so that they take the path that shows that they are in the ranks of the unbeliever, even though they're the kind of people that all of society looks up to and says, wow, look at them. Aren't they super religious? Aren't they super spiritual? Heaven and hell were waiting for them too, and too many of them chose hell. Well, so today's sermon, what I want to do is look at what that path looks like. What does it look like when we're on that path to hell? What does it look like when the imprint of God has been wearing off in our life, especially as it deals with seeking the glory of God or seeking our own glory? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for gathering us together. Thank you, Lord, for bringing healing to me and bringing me back to this blessed, wonderful congregation, the sheep of your hand, your people, whom you love. Lord, help us here with open hearts to discern through the Holy Spirit and correct us where we need to be corrected, because we know, Lord, that we need to live in daily repentance, but also assure us of your love for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'm testing out my voice this morning. Last Sunday, I went somewhere else. I did not sing. You know, I was hardly speaking. And I was doing good this week because I wasn't talking a lot.
We believe that.
You believe that. I was talking some, but when I'm starting to sing here, ooh, that's a different story. So I'm not going to try to project too much. The topic in Matthew chapter 6 is giving to the poor, praying, and fasting. You know, I remember Alan talking about this chapter a year or two ago, and he mentioned that these are the three pillars of Lent, of the typical pious practices during Lent: giving, praying, and fasting, which of course is true. And fasting, we don't hear a lot about that as Lutheran people, but it's perfectly fine, it's perfectly biblical to go before the Lord in humility and withdraw from food and instead focus more on prayer and the Word. That's a perfectly fine custom for any Christian. Now, what I want to do here, this part of the sermon, I want to go through three verses really quickly. So if you have your bulletin open to the gospel reading, and there's going to be homework for you, what I want you to do is, after we read, just for a few seconds, it'll seem like an eternity during the sermon, but just for a few seconds, I want you to consider and answer the question, what is the main problem? Don't answer it out loud, just in your head. What is the main problem? And so let's go and read the first section, verses 1 and 2 again. Okay, let's do that together. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men, to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, Do not sound the trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. A few seconds. Answer the question. What is the main problem? Just do so in your head. Now let's skip down to verse 5. Let's read that together. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. Again, a few seconds. What's the main problem? Then, this verse is not in your bulletin, because it doesn't cover the whole of Matthew 6. But I'll just read here from Matthew 6:16. So listen closely for the main problem. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. What's the main issue there in your own head? What is it? Well, the issue is not doing an act of piety publicly. The issue isn't even being seen by other people. You know, keep in mind what Jesus said in the previous chapter, earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. He says this, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Now, take that verse and compare it to what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 6. Now, the lazy man will say, "Oh, this is a contradiction." No, it's not a contradiction. It's different spheres of reality. We hold things in tension all the time. There's one God, and yet there are three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is law. There is also gospel. Right? There's all these truths that have these different poles of reality, and they're not contradictions. Sometimes they're intention. Here we have it as well. Let your light shine before men to give glory to God on the one pole. On the other, don't do what the Pharisees and scribes have been doing. Don't let your light shine in such a way that it's your light, not God's light. You see, be public and open to God's glory when it is for God's glory. Be private and secret if you want glory for yourself. And when I say public and open for God's glory, this is not, again, a show, as but it's just be yourself in Christ. Just be led by the Holy Spirit and filled with the Word of God. Be who you are in Jesus. That is letting your light shine. And when you are tempted to draw attention to yourself, go in your closet. Right? Go in your closet. This is the main problem. It isn't giving and prayer and fasting. It isn't even giving prayer and fasting and other people happen to know about it. Right? If nobody could know about prayer, then we couldn't pray in church. But Jesus said, "My Father's house would be called a house of prayer." The issue is seeking self-glory. The great sins in this world are often those things that are most repulsive for us. That we see that are quite obvious, maybe some terrible injustice in the courts, maybe murder or hate or rape, but we can see those things and say, "Oh, terrible, awful." But some of the most egregious sins, some of those that are most dangerous to the soul, are not those things that would shout out and to us and assault our sense of right and wrong. They're the things that are more hidden, that may not be seen. Like this desire of self-glory. You know, was it that way for the Pharisees and the scribes? Was it so obvious that anybody could see that they wanted self-glory? Or was it hidden away, not so easily seen? But even if that were the case, even if it was perfectly hidden in their hearts, Jesus still knew their hearts. The imprint of God in their life was being worn off. It was about their glory, not God's glory. Glory to God through your life will mean salvation to all sorts of people. Glory to God through your life will mean salvation for others, because then they'll be drawn to God, to His kindnesses and His work. Glory to ourselves is just inviting idolatry. You lift me up in praise above all. We're going to give glory to something. We're going to praise something. I was at the fireworks at Fort Leonard, 4th of July, with the family. It was wonderful. Best ending I've seen there at the Fort. I tell people about that. That was tremendous. You know, the turkey legs I used to be able to get there, you know, the turkey drumsticks. I could praise those things. I was looking forward. I saved my calories. That night, I was going to have one of those turkey drumsticks. So sad. We're going to pray. I know, it breaks my heart. But we're going to praise something. We're going to give glory to God for any. We're going to praise any number of things. We need to give God glory above all else. When He is glorified, just as when the Son is glorified and lifted up, draw all men to Himself. Alright, so that's the problem in the text. But I want to move on and talk about a couple of things that we learn in the text as well. First of all, we learn about what is and what is not a good work. What is and what is not a good work. So, all Jesus tells us informs us about that as well. What is and what is not a good work in God's sight. Now, some of you may have heard the story in the news. I won't give too many details. It's pretty awful. But in April of 2025, beloved elderly pastor was taken by a madman into a house. I think it was his house. And, screwed to the wall, crucified fashion, and then killed. This murderer was recently interviewed. I saw a little bit of it, but I never watch too much. But he planned to murder 13 pastors for the 13 tribes of Israel. No, we only count 12, so that he didn't know that. And he was going to murder them, and then he was going to somehow mark them with different names of the tribes and things of that nature. And what's interesting is, in this interview, the murderer was bemoaning how crazy the world has gotten. Right? Talk about a lack of self-awareness. At any rate, why did he do it? Well, he thought he was doing a good deed. Because he claimed this pastor and the others he were going to murder were breaking the first commandment. They were idolaters and encouraging idolatry by telling people to follow Jesus. So, three reasons. Let's talk about three reasons why his actions were wrong. Obviously, you know, it's a no-brainer. We know they were wrong. A theologian named Bodie Botkin brings this out, and I appreciate this. He brings out three points here. It's a wrong action. We all know that. Murder is wrong. But that's not the only reason, because we can also talk about there's a wrong motive. And the motive is he thinks that Jesus is an idol. And then there's a wrong goal, and the wrong goal was to kill 13 people. And we have those same three issues with what's going on, what's Jesus talking about in our text, with the giving and the prayer and the fasting, and I suppose we could add any number of things to that list. Consider right action, and we'd say, sure, it absolutely, that is in and of itself Giving to the poor, praying and fasting are perfectly fine and God-pleasing. These are good things. These are not bad things in and of themselves. But let's ask about right motive. No. Because again, the motive is desiring self-glory and the right goal. No, that they're making sure that they can be seen. And well, I think we could add another one that Bodhi didn't. And that is faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And in faith, in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God has already been pleased with you before you gave to the poor, before you prayed, and before you fasted. There's another thing that we learn here. We learn how to relate to God, our Heavenly Father. And we see this in various places in the Sermon on the Mount. So, for instance, in the verse that we just read, a little bit earlier from chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." In other words, how do we relate to the Father? We glorify the Father. And if we go on later on in the Sermon on the Mount, still in chapter 5, verse 44 and 45, it says, "But I say to you," Jesus is speaking, "love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." In other words, first glorify your Father, and now imitate your Father in your love and prayers for even your enemies. And then in our chapter, we have this in verse 1. "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." Or verse 4. "So that giving you will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Or verse 6. "But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you." In other words, don't be man-focused. Don't be so focused on people, seeking out their praise. If you're going to seek praise, seek the praise of your Heavenly Father. Seek His good pleasure. So, glorify the Father, imitate your Father, please your Heavenly Father, who is the perfect Father, not like your earthly Father. Well, folks, we'll very soon be in one of two places. We will either, all of us, very soon, will either be in heaven or we'll be in hell. And God's imprint upon us, those things that we mentioned earlier as examples, are the outward evidences and the outward indications of what God already knows by seeing our hearts. But even these things don't save us. They are the working of God in our life. What saves us is what Christ has done for us. He has delivered us from darkness to light, from judgment to peace, from being sinners to being sinner saints. Amen. I'd like you to stand and let's confess together the Apostles' Creed on page 15. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended
Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to your needs. Lord, bring us to that day where all the families of the nations will worship before you, and bring our own country to a joyful confession of your name, so that your glory would reign in the United States of America and around the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, our lives are filled with so much joy, but also mixed with sorrow. We pray for those who sorrow right now over so many girls lost in Texas. Our own city has experienced darkness and murder. So we pray you bring comfort to the grieving and help your people shine in the darkness. It's right here in Lebanon. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, be with those who govern in our nation, especially Donald, our president, Mike, our governor, and all those elected and appointed to serve, that they would do so to the glory of your name. Grant our leaders to serve you and to serve the common good of the people of this land. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, show compassion upon those who are sick and ailing. We certainly thank you for Jace and that he is cancer-free. But we also pray for those enduring and those recovering, Bill Weaver, Al. We pray for Roxy as she is in that process of death. Monica, Shane, Mark, George, also our shut-ins, Jen, Peggy, Bill, Gaylene, Brian, Jeanette. We pray for all who suffer in our midst. Remind them continually of your benefits. Forgive all their iniquities. Heal all of their diseases and crown them with steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Also pray for Evelyn's sister Anne with her pneumonia and heart issues. And for those we think of silently. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
This time we'll have the presentation of the offerings. Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Let my God, you take away the sin.
standing for a closing prayer.